You're listening to KNKX. Alice in Chains has a new album out Friday called Rainier Fog. The band got its start in Seattle back in the late 80s and rose to fame as part of the grunge movement. The group stopped recording about 12 years later when Lane Staley's drug use became out of control. He was the lead singer at the time and died in 2002. The band regrouped in 2005 with a new co-lead singer. Rainier Fog is the group's first album in 5 years, and parts of it were recorded in Seattle. The band hadn't been back to record in the city in 2 decades. Drummer Sean Kinney sat down with KNKX producer Ariel Van Cleave to talk about his comfort level with his rock star role and how it felt being back in a Seattle studio with the band.
Wherever you're at kind of seeps into what you're doing, you know, the vibe of it. Seattle's got the best vibe, and I think it just kind of really, everybody is a little more relaxed. I think it kind of helped in some ways. Last time we were in that studio was the last time, you know, all the members were
right, the original lineup.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, three of us, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was the last time we were in the studio and made a record, and Lane was still here. So
did that play into any of it too, like as you guys were putting all this stuff together?
It's in the back of your mind, like, oh, you know, how am I going to feel about this? But you know, it was all good. It was good. It seemed like it was important to come home, and it was the right time. It's kind of like the album ended up unintentionally kind of being like a little ode to home. And we've been through quite a bit, and through that, still doing that.
I wanted to get into that, and if you're willing to get into that, let's do it now. Coming back after Lane Staley's death and creating something different, but still of the essence of Alice in Chains, the way that it was first started. The conversation leading up to that.
There wasn't a conversation.
There wasn't a conversation?
No. It just kind of stemmed from a tsunami benefit that I wanted to try to raise some money for, and everybody showed up for, and there was no intention of getting the band together, and we played, and a bunch of friends came up and sang, and that was the first time we'd played together, you know, in public since Lane's passing. From that, people start asking, hey, would you guys play? Would you play? Would you play? But we just kind of operate on what feels right for us, and we need to do what's right for us, and also to honor this thing that becomes so many other people's, part of people's lives. Everybody experiences it in life. We all lose who we love, and it'll happen to everybody. It's just for in our case, because of what we do, it happens in public.
Right, it was visible. It
happens
really
in
visible.
Public, and people mean well, and it touched their lives, and they care, and so you become like a walking headstone for your friends. So when people see you, they want to pay respect. That's great, and it's beautiful and everything, but, you know, personally, you know, it's real to us. It's friends and family, you know, and so that never goes away. And then there's moments where you're just having a great day and, you know, strangers remind you of the crappiest times of your life.
You kind of touched on that next question that I had. It isn't just you. Your band is for everybody. It's for the fans.
Yeah.
You've created an iconic band, but you're also just a dude. How do you kind of hold those two roles?
I wish I could get a little drunk on my awesome sauce, you know, and take a little pull on it when people go, you're awesome. I can't believe I'm meeting you. But I don't. I always just feel like a kind of a jerk, you know. It doesn't fill me up. It makes me feel like I want to apologize. I don't know why. It doesn't fuel me. It fuels some people. And I'm slightly envious of that. And I'm humbled by it. And when you got a gray beard and you've been living in your sweatpants for 4 days and you just want to go and get some Cheetos, sometimes taking a photo isn't high on your list.
It's not great
when you forget you're the guy in the band, you know. And then it's
sure.
Like, hey, excuse me. Oh, hi. I look like Nick Nolte's mugshot. You ever see that mugshot? Pull that
of
up.
Of course.
Pull it up. That's me normally when I'm at home
on a day to day basis.
Basically, when I'm at home. Mm-hmm. When I go out, you know, vanity kicks in. You go on tour. You're like, hey, I better dye this and shave that, and, you know. All that, but it's not pretty behind the scenes.
Well, and it's a landscape has changed for bands too. It seems like I have a couple of friends who are trying to make a go of it, but it's not quite the same as like, well, let's play around and figure out who to play around with, what show should happen where, what venue is going to be good, especially when you add on the fact that there could be venues that would be maybe ideal for bands that don't have quite the pull just yet,
right.
That they're the venue that would have housed that exact kind of talent is going to be ripped down. What does that do for a city like Seattle?
You know, I don't know. There's always live music. It's not the same thing. It's, you know, there's other things to do. You can watch it online. You can do all these things. So people aren't going out as much, I don't think. And, you know, I have a hand at the Crocodile. We tried to, you know, keep that going. Because those kind of size places are where 99.9% of the musical acts on the planet survive. That's where music's really happening. That's where you saw somebody before they were huge. That's where you saw somebody coming up. That's where you saw somebody that is popular. You know, that's where the music really lives. There's not a lot of people that can go fill the Enormo Dome. And some of the greatest, you know, are going away. We lost Tom Petty, Prince, Bowie, Chris. Once they're gone, who's replacing them? If there is no system, Prince didn't start Kick-Ass.
Right.
Prince became Kick-Ass because there was a system and people that believed in him for him to grow and as an artist and stuff. So, you know, if he only could do his first album, it's like, yeah, I'm sick of him. I'm on the next thing. So, you know, that's my personal fear. It's like, wow, what's the future hold? Because there's so many talented people. There's so many great things going on. And it never stops. Music and art and all that stuff, it's out there. It's in your garage. It's in basements. It's in the clubs. It's everywhere. It's just, you have to support these things for them to exist and to grow to become to that next level.
Do you think that Alice in Chains, if it was a band that just formed now and started playing, would work?
Oh, I've never even thought about that. I don't know. I have no idea. I never thought it was. I mean, you'd hoped it would work then, but there's no guarantees. At a certain point, it becomes everybody's thing, and they decide. A record company, music, money, hype, timing. There's so many things that lend to how you can get some exposure. At a certain point, that all turns off, and it's people. They request that they want to hear your songs.
Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
That was Alice in Chains drummer Sean Kinney talking with KNKX producer Ariel Van Cleave about the band's new album, Rainier Fog, comes out Friday.